The thing is to walk in that confidence of who God is. Real simple, like David said. I really, really enjoyed that. I think Jim said it, but I've been listening to David speak on communion on and off for 10 or 11 years. It's always great. It's always different. And a lot of that comes from his Catholic background. The depth of that, the years of Catholicism, as not years, because he's very, very young. But from that, and I was thinking, you know, I'm going to teach the next three Sundays on the journey, and as I started teaching, I started, you know, getting clever about how much I like the church and what I like about it and what I want to do, and it's really, really simple. So I want to give some simple things to that, but I don't want us to ever compare ourselves to another church or another set of beliefs or what somebody else is doing, because honestly, we don't care what somebody else is doing, because that's what they're doing and that what they are thinking they're supposed to do. And we're only called to really examine ourselves, not to examine them. You know, I've been in the church where Jim got saved in Scotland. I've been in the Catholic church with David's parents in Scotland. I've been to the Episcopal church, or which now is the Anglican church, which is actually the Anglican church. I've been Presbyterian. We've got Nazarene and Church of Christ friends here in Tomball, and Tomball Bible Church we partner with. And we don't need any judgment against anybody else or any way anybody else is doing something. And when we talk about what we're doing, we should be happy with what we're doing. You should be happy to go to church here, or you should leave. Not right now, but after church, just don't come back. I mean, but really think about that. If you can't take joy and like it, and understand what we're about, then really find a place that you really fit. And we should be happy, but we should also recognize that we're just doing a piece of something. And it's just a piece of our entire journey. The Sunday morning, how we operate, is very, very unimportant to your day-to-day life. It's very, very unimportant. It's just a piece. And there's acts of faith of coming here and being in community. And so there's an importance to it. But it's not the important thing. And so I want to get that clear as we talk about the journey. I'm going to talk about the journey a little bit, and then I'm going to talk about the journey church. And I don't want us to get confused about the journey and the journey church, because the journey church does certain things that we hope actually reflect the journey. Because in Scripture, in the New Testament, Jesus almost never mentions church. I think it's like once or twice, and it says several times he was in church, as was his habit. And then we see in Acts and the epistles that the apostles go to church. So there's an act of going to church. It's a spiritual act of growth. But what we don't want the journey church to become the issue, because the journey is our issue. Our walk with God is first. Our walk with one another is second. My walk with God is much more important than my walk with the church or how I operate with the church. My walk with God is far more important than my walk with you. So if I can elevate, that doesn't mean that I elevate my walk with him and then I have to lower my walk with the church or with you. It means the higher I elevate my walk to him and the importance I give to him, the higher and more vulnerable, more authentic and more real I can be. And our relationship actually just gets bigger and better, because as I'm in him, I find I'm less fearful. I'm less worried. I'm less wondering what you're thinking about me and judge how you're judging me and all of those things. So I can actually like talk and live a certain way that is pleasing to the Lord that really focuses on my journey. So I want us to get that straight. I love the journey as a description. I love the journey. I have all my life, ever since the journey came out, the band. No, I'm kidding. I like the journey. In fact, back at another church, at City Church, I love the journey so much that I got the journey.tv probably 8 or 9 years ago as a web page. And we did a discipleship thing called The Journey. And I've always liked the journey because I like the imagery. And I have some slides up here. Lovely Crecia, can you just push one of those buttons? See if it goes through the first slide. That's a picture of me. Yeah! That's a picture David took in Santa Cruz. So it's part of the journey at the end of this last year. And I have all these words for the journey. And I love the idea of the journey. We're on a journey. We're not coming to church trying to figure out how do we do church together. What's the best way? What's the best worship songs? What's the best? Should we have a drum on stage or should we play guitar? Should it just be organ music? Who should we pick from? Should it be Vineyard or Hillsong or whoever? Should it be this or this or this? Should we preach from the NIV or the Message or the King James? Or should we stick with the really, really, really old King James? What should we do? None of that really matters. We're on this journey. And so as we're on this journey, we're kind of like all pretty far apart. I was thinking this last couple of weeks, I was raised in a denomination from 13 to about to 30 that if you didn't speak in tongues, you were suspect because you probably weren't very saved and you definitely weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. I know some of you were raised in denominations that if you spoke in tongues, you were of the devil. But it doesn't really matter, does it? It doesn't matter if you still believe that today. There's no brokenness because of doctrine. There's no disconnection because of what we believe, but we're all coming from this area and we're coming into Him. It's always about Him. So it's actually shedding a lot of our doctrine. It's actually shedding a lot of our beliefs that we have to have. David mentioned that a little bit, that we construct these things that are pretty complex that when any time trouble comes along, they fall apart. So I love the journey. I love the idea of a change in landscape. I love the idea of, you know, so maybe some of you have such a blessed life that you've never been through a desert. You've never been through a storm. You've never had a flat tire. You've never been in a car wreck. Your car's never broken down. You've always driven a really nice car. Maybe you've never been in a flash flood. Maybe you've never had your tent blown over and all the poles broken. And you have to leave Galveston in a hurricane while your wife is pregnant. And you pack and your glasses, since you were asleep when your tent fell over, your glasses are still in the car. And your pregnant wife is driving home. Maybe you've never had those parts of the journey. But that's our journey. There's ups and downs. There's a flow and ebb and season of our journey. Yet we talk like it's always all okay when we get right here. When we start talking, that we know, we talk more about what we know about the Bible than how we know Him. And a lot of our talking is just to convince other people that really we're okay, really we're as good as everybody else. And so I want to get beyond that. I'm much more interested in your journey than the Journey Church. I'm way more interested in your journey than the Journey Church. I'm way more concerned about your life, your heart, your soul, your change about you than I am about how we do anything here. I'm not upset when we start late. Well, not anymore. I'm not upset when the music doesn't hit or we don't have this or we don't have. I'm not. All of those things. I have been in the past. But my concern isn't for us to have a better church service. I don't want to build something better. I had this thought. That I don't want to build a better horse carriage because nobody uses them anymore. I don't want to build a better whip. I don't want to build a better rotary phone that you have to go 9, 8. I don't want to build a better something that we don't even need. So I don't want to build a better church. I'm not interested in that. I don't think God's interested in building a better Journey Church. I think He's interested in healing and freeing us and having us be those people and us be that thing. So I'm not interested in learning how to preach better. I'm sorry. I am so sorry for some of you. I'm not interested in a different style of preaching or following anybody in their preaching. I'm not interested in learning more about doctrine. I'm not interested in, and we will in the future teach more about doctrine, not on Sunday mornings, but on some other areas and some topics so we can keep some things straight. But I'm interested in our experience, in our relationship with the Creator of the universe through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what I'm interested in. Nothing else. Everything else is, and it's hard to stay focused on that because everything you read is focused on church style, church doctrine. Are you in this club of these pastors? Are you in this way of thought? Do you do this or do you approve of that? Do you like beer? Do you like tattoos? Do you like nose rings? Actually, she went with Michelle, friend, to get her nose ring. Bad influence. That's why we moved them up to Portland, actually. That's in the letter I'm going to send out. So think about who cares? Who cares? Sick and dying, lonely, hurt, lost world doesn't care. It seems like once we get in the club, then we begin to care about things we should never care about. And I want to care about the right things. I want to know Him more. One thing we've been praying the last year or two is open our eyes, open our ears. Open our eyes, open our ears. My mentor has been saved. He's turning 73 this year. He's been saved 36 years. He got saved on his 36th year of life. And he has a whole another life, a whole another marriage, a whole another set of kids, and they all hate him. And he got saved at 36 years old. They don't all hate him now, but they've had a long, hard time. And for 36, almost 37 years, he's followed Jesus, and his life looks completely different. And this is what he tells me all the time. I just pray that God, that people will know him and know him more. Just pray that we'll know him and know him more. Let that be our prayer. Just that I'll know him and know him more. Don't pray that my preaching is better. Pray that Les will know him and know him more. It's not like I know him and I'll know him forever. It's just to pray that I know him and know him more. So that's our prayer, to have that clarity and sight of who he is. To have that relationship with him. We all say that the difference between Christianity and any other religion is that it's relationship. Yet we all act like it's not relationship. So we invite people to church and to programs, but not into relationship with us. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. So in 1 Kings, turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. I'm gonna read just a little bit of 22, verse 22. I'm gonna skip down a couple verses. So I want you to see where he's asking the Lord to be and the Lord to come. So 1 Kings 22, then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven and said, and so he's dedicating the temple that his father built, and he's dedicating that. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 26. And now, God, O God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really, and this is what's interesting, but will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple? How much less this temple I have built? Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, O Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence in this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, and this place of which you have said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Now the request is that God would bless and be in the temple, even though even the heavens and the earth can't contain him, that the universe can't contain God. But that's the wrong prayer to pray today. It's been the wrong prayer to pray for 2,000 years that our church would be blessed. And that's the primary. It's been the wrong prayer to pray that this service and this service alone would be blessed. Because when Jesus came, he left heaven. He came down into a physical temple. And he had to leave, and that body of his had to be destroyed. The temple where they worshiped, the literal temple that they had to worship, had to be destroyed. The physical body had to be destroyed. And you know why? So we could become temples of the Holy Spirit. So our prayer into the new year has to be that his presence and his power would be full and flowing through me, not through my church. Not through get somebody at church and let them get saved and then let them just wallow around and find religion and find out what the rules are and what the rules aren't and then go from church to church to church for the rest of their life and then try house churches and try charismatic churches and try organized churches and try Bible churches. We're the temple. Every large church is considered a little church in the Bible. It can't contain. It can't contain. We've got churches of 35 and 45 and 50,000 people overseas. We've got churches of 30-something thousand here. They're small churches. You're the big temple. You're the great temple. And this is interesting because I didn't recognize this till yesterday, but there's a lighthouse back there. Gets all the attention. But in God's perspective, that chubby little temple right there, with the name of Leslie Charles Heron, 50 years old, that one is far more important than the one that towers above me when I stand next to it, that everybody goes and sees. It's not so we wonder why is church this, but we're those people. We're those temples. We're His dwelling places. And we've got to take our minds and our hearts, and as we read, we have to read as we are His temples. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? The kingdom of God is within. The power and presence of God is within us." It is us. It is me. It is you. It's not me when I'm preaching alone. It's not Stevie when he's singing alone. It's not David when he's talking about communion alone. It's we take this with us. It's deposited within us. And the challenge is to allow it to grow and to be formed, fully formed within us, and to overflow from our life. Not trying to go be kind, not trying to go be loving, not trying to be a good Christian, just allowing that to form within us so we're that way. And that's really difficult for us to do. So on your prayer, don't pray for the journey in that way. Don't pray for your ministry in that way. Pray for lives to be changed around you right now, today, tomorrow. Whatever you're doing tomorrow, if you're a school teacher or an employee of a company or a stay-at-home mom or a grandparent or a teenager, whatever you are, let God be formed in you and have that Holy Spirit come out of you that way. And that's the promise. And this promise here of your promise that you would see and you would hear and you would not neglect us is our promise for here, for me and my home. And throughout Scripture, David said this also. He tried to steal my thunder. If I had to give him 4 more minutes, he would have said everything. Choose today. Choose right now if you haven't already. This is going to be a good year. Regardless of what comes my way, God is good and He's on my side and He's bringing good things my way. I can hear Him clearly, regularly. He's in my job. He's in my life. I don't need a new job. I don't need a new spouse. I don't need better health. I need Him and Him alone. His kingdom within me, within my temple of who I am. I'm more interested in becoming a great temple rather than a big church. I'm more interested in becoming a great temple rather than a little church or a big little church or a church that people talk about. Don't get me wrong. I struggle. I want to be a big church. I would like to be a larger church. But over the last 4.5 years, the Lord has just really, I was going to say damaged me. Maybe that's what he's done. He's been hitting away at that. Why don't you ask me to change more lives? Why don't you ask me to heal more marriages? Why don't you ask me to heal more people? Why do you ask for something that's superficial, that only means something in the eyes of man? I'm like, ouch, that hurts. Same thing goes for you. What are you asking for your job? Are you asking for a raise? Are you asking for something better, something more of what's not even satisfying you now? Are you asking for more of something, more position, more? What do you do then? So we ask for Him, and it could manifest at something different, and that's fine and that's good. So the church has a place. The church, I want to get that straight, because a lot of people are dropping out of church, and they have all these reasons why, well, I'm the church, and they'll take even what I just said, and it's just not true. If Jesus went to church, if the disciples went to church, we should go to church. Because His gifts are developed within community. His life is stirred in community. Today is the first day of the week, the first daylight hours of the week, Sunday morning. We come together and we celebrate. We say, I won't sing whatever I want to say. I'll sing together corporately with brothers and sisters in Christ that I will be in eternity together. We come today and we'll see, I will listen to somebody that's talking about the Lord and I will allow them to penetrate and to bug me and to poke around in my life and my emotions and my soul and my spirit and challenge me to live somewhere different. And I'll ask people to pray for me. And I'll give prayer. And I'll disciple and I'll be discipled. So we come together for that. So the church has a place, but it's not the place. You are the place. The best thing you can do for this church is get yourself right. And I don't mean right like, you know, stop doing something or start reading more of something. I just mean right with the Lord. Not self-righteous acts, but acts towards Him. And it might be more Bible study. Don't get me wrong. It might be waking up at a certain hour and studying before you go. It might look exactly like religious things, but it's the things He's telling you to do that He wants from you. Do those things. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 3:16 again. And it's all over. It's all over the New Testament. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? God, who we just read can't be contained by the universe, says, but I can be contained inside Ron. Your beard just confused me. I didn't recognize you. Think about that. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. That's like the can I say the hottest girl in the world? That's like the hottest girl in the world coming up and knocking on your door and saying, I'd like to go out with you. Or the hottest guy coming up to you. It's like amazing that this person wants to be. He says the universe can't contain me, but you can. I want to come with you and all your mess and all your junk. You don't have to clean up anything. You don't have to change anything. All you have to do is ask me and keep making place for me, keep making room for me. It's an amazing thing. I'm concerned about the journey, your journey. I do want there to be happiness and joy and peace. And I want it to be and freedom, but I want it to be coming from in here. And that's really what these freedom classes are about. And that's what a lot of our teaching has been about is when you begin to get set free here, then freedom comes out here, then peace. I was Friday. I did something, a favor for somebody, and I was in the middle of conflict. The one person that was going to show up, I knew it wouldn't be good with them probably, and another person I didn't know. And as I'm waiting there, I've got about 15 minutes, and I'm learning more and more how to how am I feeling? What's going on inside of me? And I finally realized I felt like the Lord said, "You're worried." I am worried. And then it was like, and that's fear. I was like, no, I'm just worried. And it was like it's fear. So I'm like, what am I afraid of? So when as he's talking to me about what I'm afraid of, you know what? The next hour was a great hour of my week with that guy I met that I had already was afraid of. I just decided I made him a cup of coffee. I talked to him. It was really good. I got to hear his dad's testimony, how his dad got saved and became a minister into his late 50s, early 60s, and all that happened in his life. And it was great. And that hearing God. And God's available to me right now. I don't like learn something and try to apply it. I'm constantly being taught by the Holy Spirit, by Him, by what He wants. I love this. I have a quote up here by Howard Snyder. He's a Canadian theologian. And he says, the gospel says go, but our church buildings say stay. The gospel says seek the lost, but our churches say let the lost seek the church. So... And the lost doesn't mean just the lost, the heathens. It means those just lost. The prodigal brother that strayed away. To be loving and kind and not try to get him into church or get him into something, but invite them into your life, into who you are. You know, one thing I do know is I have no desire to support your doctrine of what you believe. I really don't. That's why we don't talk about it a lot. Now, we've had lots of, with some of you, we've had lots of long conversations. But it doesn't really matter. It matters how we're living life out and what He's doing here. You know, the terminal conversation is it once saved, always saved, or do you blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And most of us that have studied it have flipped back and forth. We hear a really clever teaching, oh, that's the Bible. And we hear something else, oh, that's the Bible. And it doesn't really matter. For me, what is God doing in me? How do I know Him to be true to me and who I am? And so we want to stick with that. I don't want to support political agenda. I have them. You have them. But I don't want to support that. Whatever he's saying and doing that, I want to be involved in that. And that. Okay? And so great temples are placed everywhere. Jesus says it several times. Be salt and light. Be where people can see you. This is what we think, though. When you hear, be salt and light, this is what we think. We think, be really good at something, be really spiritual during this time. What about when you're divorced or going through a divorce? Are you supposed to be salt and light? What about when you're getting fired? What about when you're laid off? What about when you're sick? More people are looking at you when you're going through trouble than when you're not going through trouble. more people are wondering how are you responding to life when it's hurt than they are when it's going well. So we're called, we're placed everywhere. And some of us have made huge mistakes, so we've been placed in different areas. So are you shining? Are you shining in those areas? Are you allowing God to shine through you? Are you sick and struggling? Perfect place for the Lord to shine. Perfect place for you to get on your knees. I don't mean on your knees physically necessarily, but to ask Him and to seek Him. Because you could seek your healing in an area for a sickness and get your healing but never get your soul healed. You could get the job of your dreams or the promotion you want, the house that you want, and never get your soul healed. You can stay married for year after year after year and never enjoy your marriage or never be a joy to your spouse. So we go after the deep healing. We go after the stuff that's deep within us. That stuff. That's what the journey is about. And that's what the Lord wants to do. That's what he's saying. So can I have the team come back up? Because I want to end with this song that they sang. It was a third song. And it struck me. I didn't know what he was singing, but it was perfect. You're welcome in this place. And most of us, I bet, sang it, you're welcome in this place, right? You're welcome at 111 West Main Street. You're welcome at Main Street Crossing. You're welcome in our church. But it's really this, isn't it? You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. It's not something we sing for just this morning, but I want you to take that with us. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. I'm going to talk about next week. Kind of like it's kind of a fat tire principle. When you blow air into a tire, the entire tire becomes inflated. And His life is in us as we welcome in this place. All the boats in the harbor rise. It's not just I want my health to be good. It's like if I seek Jesus, everything across the board comes clearer, becomes better, becomes cleaner, fresher, more simple. So I want us to sing this. He's welcome in this place. And a lot of times I put my hands right here because He's welcome in this place. Sometimes I put it down here. A lot of times in Judaism, the soul is in your belly, the source of life. I don't know if that's because of pregnancy or whatever, but it's a source of life. And so just invite Him in to be welcome in this place this year, that He's welcome in this place. And then you can visualize where you go. You're welcome in this place while I'm at my job. You're welcome in this place when I'm driving the car with my spouse or my kids. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place as imagery of Him changing how you see and what you hear and what you say and how you respond and how you give and how you live. It changes so much. If we could focus on the source of our life and have Him reproduce His life in us like He wants to do, that will really answer the depth of the questions of our soul. All right, go ahead and bow your heads, and I'm going to pray for a minute, and then Stevie will sing. So, Father, we just say we welcome you in this place. We welcome you in this place. We welcome you in this place, in our hearts, in us. We just envision you in us, being formed fully in us and overflowing us, Father God. We won't battle sin alone. We won't try to be good and try not to be bad. We just invite you into this place and let you take care of it all. We invite you into this place, Holy Spirit.
To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire.
Welcome to